Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and verses 13 through 25. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, as we celebrate, indeed, this week, the birth of our nation, the independence of our nation, we realize, of course, that we are, as citizens of America, called to freedom. Now, I know that when Paul was writing this in Galatians, that he was writing it about Christian freedom and the fact that we were no longer subject to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the following of the law, but now we were free to follow Christ, and the difference that creates in us, that we still live lives that are pleasing to God, but at the same time, we know that if we fail, the blood of Christ covers our sins. And so that is a vast difference. And so he says, we are called to that freedom, called to understand how wonderful it is to be loved by God and to be accepted by God with all our faults and failures, that Jesus Christ died a death for our sins and resurrected so that we might have everlasting life. But that idea of called to freedom, I believe, also applies to who we are as citizens of the United States of America, that we are called to freedom. I believe that, you know, if we look around the world and the different countries that I've visited, and some countries are amazing and wonderful and spectacular, but I've never thought once that I would rather live in another nation other than the United States of America. I feel that it is the greatest nation on the planet, and that as such we have an obligation also to lead and guide and show by example. We're not perfect. We never have been perfect. And we probably never will be perfect, but at least we strive and work toward that. And we realize that as citizens of the United States of America, that we are called to freedom and all that freedom means to us and how dear that is in a world that sometimes thinks that freedom is not necessarily what its citizens need. And so we are called to freedom, and the important thing is that if we're called to that and if we're told by what Paul wrote in Galatians that we're to be led by the Spirit and that we're to live by the Spirit, then we realize we also need to take that into what it means to be faithful to our nation as well. That we're called to freedom, called to be good citizens of the United States of America. Now, you can define good in many different ways of what it is to be a good citizen, but I have a few ideas that perhaps came from this passage here in Galatians, leading and guiding as to what it is to be good in the United States, what it is to be a good citizen, what it is to not take for granted our freedoms, but to encourage one another as we walk together as citizens of the United States of America. And I think one thing is that we try, striving as we might, to encourage goodness in our land, to encourage others, to encourage one another as we walk along, to encourage one another into what it is to be a part of a democracy, a republic, to be a part of what it is to be the body of Christ in the midst of our nation, and what we are called upon to do in that regard as well. And that is to be encouragers in many different ways, to realize that mistakes are made, but at the same time that we encourage one another to do good and to continue to work. There's an amazing program. Perhaps you've heard about it. I hope that you've heard about it 100 times and you're going, okay, he's mentioned that program again. But the YMCA mentoring program, Dawn Powell is very involved with that. Anyway, she was here a minute ago. But she's very involved with that through her school. Renee is a mentor. Some of the rest of you may be mentors as well. It's an amazing program. And when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, so you have outside people come into the schools and help teach students one-on-one. Nope. That's not what they do. They go there to encourage a particular student. They're not there to instruct and say, this is how you do math, this is how you do reading. They're there to encourage them because for whatever reason, not necessarily bad family life, maybe they just need an extra dose of encouragement. The mentors, through this very wonderful program that the YMCA has developed in partnership with the local schools, this great program is that these mentors come in, meet with these students one-on-one, and they meet with them weekly, and they're there just to encourage them to behave properly, encourage them to study hard, to do their work, and mainly to encourage them that there's somebody there who cares about them, cares about what they think and feel as they're going through the process of being educated. And the other great part about this program is, I sound like I'm doing a commercial, sorry, but the other great part of the program is that you get to keep that student all through school. So if you start with them in elementary school, then you walk with them all the way through high school. Well, can you imagine the relationship you build as a mentor, as an encourager for that student? So it's a marvelous program built solely on the idea that sometimes children need encouragers just there to say, you can do it. And this is how you do it. And I'm your friend, and I'm here with you, and I'll walk with you. And when you fall down, I'll help pick you up, and we can keep on doing it with a smile and with strength and with vigor. Just like the Camp IROC, which is also a part of the United Way campaign, and I think YMCA is involved with that as well. Camp IROC, I spoke about it months ago, the fact that it's a summer program for students who are struggling and who feel that there's no hope for them, and the Camp IROC program, which is very strong and very powerful and taking place right here in Powdersville, is also there to encourage them. And students have left there saying that I had no hope when I came, and now I have hope because I see what I can do. And through our outreach committee, through missions, you are helping financially to support Camp IROC here in Powdersville as well. Those things are very important. It's very important for us to realize that if we're called to freedom, then we're supposed to be encouragers to one another and encouragers to those in our community. Sometimes we forget about that. I've had a baffling problem, and I didn't know what to do about it. But my petunias and my geraniums were not blooming. It just bugged me to tears that my petunias and geraniums, they like one blossom and then one blossom, and I did this big old planter of them, and I thought, boy, they'll look spectacular. Well, they look sort of green, but that's about it. And then every once in a while, a little blossom will come up, and I'm going, bloom! Why aren't you blooming? So then I decided I would ask one of our master gardeners here, Jenny Kingman. I know there are other master gardeners here as well, part of the Powdersville Garden Club that meets here. So I went to Jenny, and I said, Jenny, I have this problem. My petunias, my geraniums aren't blooming. And so I said, I think it's the sunlight. She said, yeah, maybe. She said, I said, I water them. Renee waters them. We haven't tried talking to them, but, you know, we don't know what to do. And then she said, oh, Master Gardener. She said, have you tried fertilizing them? Oh, And the soil that was in that container has been used for a few years now. And I thought, oh, they just need some fertilizer. They need a little encouragement. How simple. So I gave them some liquid fertilizer. I just gave it to them the other day, so they haven't started blooming quite yet. But how simple. How easy to overlook. That little bit of a push. That little bit of encouragement. Not something super complicated. Not something so drastic. But just a little reminder. You might need to encourage them with a little fertilizer. You might need to encourage someone else with a little pat on the back. With something that tells them you're significant. And you're important. And this is how we care about you. We are called to freedom. We have the freedom to encourage one another. We're called to freedom as citizens of the United States. And in the midst of that freedom, we are also called to encourage one another to live out the life that God has called us to live in this nation. We're also called, I believe, to correct. And that, of course, opens up a huge can of worms, I know. But we are called to correct. We're called to correct and guide. And you know what? That's a part of our nation. When people start talking about politics and saying, oh, it's so complicated and so all this, that, and the other, and I'm tempted to say, yes, you know, it would be simpler if we had a dictator who said, you shall do this, and if you don't do this, you shall die, and so you should do this, and that's what you do. Well, democracy is messy. It's messy, it's complicated, it's cumbersome. Sometimes we take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back, but that's what it is. We're a republic. We send people up there to govern for us, and then we don't know if they're doing a good job, and they don't know sometimes if they're doing the right job. But it's messy, and it's complicated, and politics are involved in politics. Well, so then you get all this going on, but we have, as a nation, this great ability to correct ourselves, to correct what we are doing, to see, indeed, the benefit of taking action and then correcting if that doesn't turn out the way that we want it to turn out. When I was in high school, we had this amazing high school science teacher, Mrs. Guest, Mary Ellen Guest. She was just amazing because she thought science was the most amazing thing in the whole wide world. And she had huge classes because we were all required to take her science classes. And she would teach science like, you're not going to believe this. It's just amazing. And she was big on science projects, that you had to do science projects. And once a year, we had science fair. And, you know, Slater Marietta, the only time you got the community to turn out was football games. And so the football games were always packed. Well, believe it or not, her science fairs were always packed too, because every student that she had to have a science project. And so mom and dad came, and grandparents and aunts and uncles, everybody came to see little Johnny or little Susie's science fair project. It was a big competition, all this sort of stuff. It was really amazing the work that she was able to accomplish with that. But she was able to teach us also, because we thought, you know, that if you did something, it had to be a success. And that if your science project turned out with results that weren't what you were anticipating, then you thought it was a failure. And she was very quick to tell us repeatedly, no, if it doesn't turn out the way you expected it to, if it doesn't turn out the way your hypothesis stated would happen, that means that you've learned something in the process. It doesn't mean that it's a failure toward knowledge. If it fails, then you've learned that this does not work, so therefore look for that which does work. But this method that you used doesn't work, but she said that's still knowledge. And that's what it's all about, knowledge to grow, knowledge to understand. I remember one project I did, and it was called The Effect of Physical Factors on Plants. And I did that like in seventh grade, and I think it's rather impressive. I can still think of the name of that project. But you're not so impressed, but I am. I'm impressed with myself. But anyway, the main part of the project was that I took these little plants in little peat cups, and I did it for like over a month. And I had some that were sitting on a windowsill, and I would water all of them the same, you know, control and the ones that I was experimenting on. And the other ones I had in the windowsill, I put them on a turntable. Oh, yes. Now, a turntable is this thing that we used to put records on, and the records would spin, and you had this little arm, and it would play music. And so the turntable would do like this. And so I put these plants on the turntable, and every day I would turn on the turntable, not real high speed, and it would rotate the plants pretty fast for 30 minutes a day. And the other plants just sat there in the windowsill. So guess which plants grew better? Turntable, yes! They doubled inside versus the other ones. And luckily, Miss Guest didn't ask me to define why that was, because I just said, this is the result. I figured it might have something to do with the fact they were getting more oxygen or something. I don't know. Maybe they just like to spin. You know, I don't know. But anyway, they grew double the fast. And so I thought it was amazing. I thought it was great. And I learned something, that sometimes things you do to plants make them behave differently, like fertilizer. But anyway, that is a good thing. When we learn something, even through our failures, then we learn how to correct, how to guide. We learn through our successes as well. But success isn't the only way you learn. Sometimes you learn more through failures. But as a nation, we have learned. We have learned and we've grown and we continue to grow. Each and every day, we are learning and growing as a nation. We're learning and growing how to live in this world and how to guide this world and how to be a positive influence upon every person in the world. And as the body of Christ, the church, we have a very important role to play in the life of our nation, to correct, to guide, to encourage, and to be good citizens of our world as well. And I think one of the most important things that we have to do as the body of Christ is to help prepare our nation for the future. Because, you know, nowadays, a lot of people look at the church and they, in effect, say, why bother? Why bother to come to church? Why bother to be a part of the church? Why bother with something that is sort of like yesterday's news to a lot of people? And so, as the church, we have to show the full effects of God, not only in our lives, but in the lives of all people. And we have to represent Christ, Christians, representing Christ in the world. We have to show the impact of God in our lives so that people can look at us and say, that's why we bother. That's why we gather to worship and to praise God. That's why we strive to grow in our Christianity, in our discipleship, so that we might do more for Christ and be seen as the hands and feet of Christ. And that's when people stop saying, why bother? But that's when people say, I want a part of that. I want that in my life. I need to be affected by that as I'm living out my life each and every day. And sometimes you might not realize how one small thing, one small word, one small action might truly affect the lives of others and how that can have rippling effects upon other people as well. When you realize that someone needs to have a word from God and you feel hindered from that, perhaps that's the moment when you represent not only what you believe, but also the church to that individual. And in doing so, you're also guiding our nation as well. You're being a good citizen of our nation because we believe in the work of our nation. We believe that God is guiding us as Christians and as the church, and therefore God is guiding us as a nation, and that we will prevail, just as Christ has told us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Then we also believe and hope and pray indeed that that is also true of our nation. Sometimes small things can make a great impact. When I was a preschooler, I was either 4 or 5. The way I remember is that my mom taught school. My dad ran a business. So we had a lady who came in and stayed with her. We called her Mama Whiting. And she would stay with us during the day. And so Mama Whiting was in the house. I remember that. So I was either 4 or 5, something like that. And my brother and I, my twin brother and I, were out in the backyard playing. We had this fenced-in backyard. And we had this collie in the backyard. Her name was Mickey. We loved Mickey. Mickey was just wonderful and just great, and she looked just like Lassie. Okay, So Lassie was, showing my age. I'm doing turntables and Lassie. That's pretty bad. But Lassie was this very popular TV show. And Lassie, it was sort of silly in a lot of ways because every episode, every week, you would tune in to this all-American family living on a farm. And Lassie was their pet collie. And Lassie was amazing and smarter than all the people in the show. And so Lassie would always rescue somebody. We didn't know who was going to be in trouble that week, but somebody would be in trouble. And Lassie would realize they were in trouble. And then she would come back and she'd say, "Hey, that guy over there is in trouble." No, she didn't talk, but she'd go, "Roof, roof, 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 roof." And then finally go, "Lassie, are you telling me to go to the old mill? Okay, let's go to the old mill." You know, I never could quite figure out how they knew a barking dog was guiding and directing them. But Lassie always saved the day, and it was always about Lassie. So Lassie was the first superhero, I guess you'd say, almost like that, the dog. But she was also a beautiful collie. Well, Mickey, our dog, looked a lot like Lassie. Well, we thought she looked like Lassie. I don't know if she really did, but, I mean, it was a collie. She had that long snout and all the rest of the fur like Lassie. Well, we loved Mickey. Well, one day we had heard, you know, you're 5 and 6, your parents are talking about things, and parents were talking about this dog that was roaming the neighborhood. And they were saying, "That dog's just been really bad. Nobody knows whose dog it is, big black dog," and they didn't know who it was. And they said several people tried to corner it or, you know, get it, and they couldn't, and all this stuff. And so one day we were out in the backyard, which was on part of the side of the house. We had a gate to the fence and everything, and we were in there playing, and the big black dog walked into our front yard, which was not fenced, and started walking toward the porch of the front of the house. And so my brother decided that he needed to go tell Mama Whiting that that big black dog was out there and that people were trying to catch that big black dog, and so we should get that big black dog. And so he could have gone to the back of the house within the fence and gone that way into the house because that door was open. But he decided the best way was more direct, to open the gate and go out that way to where the dog was. Now remember, we were 4 or 5. I guess we weren't thinking too clearly on that. But so he goes out the gate, closes the gate, and then starts walking toward the dog to go inside and tell Mama Whiting, "There's this big black dog in the yard." Well, the big black dog said, "Lunch." So he started coming toward my brother, and he bristled up. I could tell it. I was standing there, and I was seeing it, and I couldn't believe it, but he started bristling up and lowered his head, and I could hear him growling, and he was coming up on my brother. My brother was walking, and we were used to animals. We were used to friendly animals, and so my brother was sort of like, "Oh, hey, doggy," and all this stuff, but the doggy was saying lunch, I guess. I don't know what he was saying. I don't know. He could have been sick. I don't know. But anyway, my brother started trying to get to the front porch, but I realized there was too far for him to go, and the dog was faster than he was. And I was standing there, and I was going, "Oh, no, that dog's going to bite him." Well, you know, dog could have done more than that because the dog was taller than my brother at that point, and he was coming up on him real fast. But at the same time, Mickey, who was right there by me, was going crazy, barking and jumping up and down and everything else. And all of a sudden, I thought, what would Lassie do? I really did. I thought, what would Lassie do? So then I lifted the latch on the gate, and I didn't even open the gate. Mickey opened the gate. When I opened the latch, Mickey hit that gate, took off just like a torpedo, and I never knew that collies could use their nose as a weapon, but she hit that dog right in the midsection, and they rolled and rolled and tumbled, and then the dog took off, and Mickey took off after the dog, and ran out of distance. Of course, Mickey turned up later without a scratch on her. But yay! We're clapping for Mickey. But at the same time, my brother was saved at least from a dog bite, perhaps from rabies shots. Who knows what else? Could have been very, very bad because that was a big black dog. Because I'd watched Lassie, and I thought, we have a collie. It's like Lassie, and all I did was lift the latch. And Mickey, a.k.a. Lassie, took care of it from there. You never know, as a Christian, the effect that you might have on others. You never know when you're called upon to say just that word or show by example just that thing that's going to make an impact on the life of others. And guess what? That's a part of being a great citizen of our wonderful country, to make impacts on others so that they make impacts on others. So the name of Christ is glorified not only in our lives, but in our nation as well. Let's pray. Most gracious God, we thank you that you have called us to freedom. We pray indeed that we might always fulfill every part of that calling, that we might be led by your Spirit and that we might live by your Spirit to make indeed an impact on others. Be with us as the church, and be with us as a nation, and bless us. This we pray in Christ's most holy name. Amen.